Welcome back to the Dragon Cast. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break to talk about My Hero Academia and then back to all Dragon Quest all the time.
I regularly scheduled My Hero break from more interesting conversation. I kid. This show's great.
Yep. In episode 60 of My Hero Academia, Ben was a dumbass and forgot to write a plot summary.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what...
Is that right?
I've got my notes, but I didn't write a summary. So, yeah, let's see what happens. Everybody passes the exam except for Bakugo and Windy Boy.
Mm-hmm. Todoroki.
And Todoroki.
Oh, yeah, Todoroki, yeah. Too. Good point. Windy Boy apologizes for being an asshole. Let's see. Oh, Goopy Girl was a secret villain. Turns out she's a Hagao girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I had unfortunately, and I think a lot of people probably shared this, I had unfortunately kind of gotten spoiled on that before this.
Oh.
Because the video game, Touga is a playable character in it, and her ultimate move is turning into Uraraka.
Ah.
Like, you see her transform, so immediately it's like, okay, she has the power to turn into, wait, this girl turned into... Nothing says she couldn't turn into another... Oh, wait, this is probably
it
her.
It wasn't that. It was that she could turn into anybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it was one of those where I kind of started piecing together, like, well, this girl has the power to transform. We'll figure that out eventually. And then, oh, there's this weird transforming girl in the test. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah.
So I had kind of pieced that together, but didn't want to say anything here on the show until it had been officially revealed.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, yeah. Who also turns into Uraraka. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All Might goes to visit, he's got a little Professor X Magneto talking in the prison scene.
Yeah.
Only a lot less cordial. Those two were like good old friends who wound up on the opposite sides of this issue. These guys still fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
There's no love lost between these two, and I feel like All Might, short of his moral code, would totally be down to just ice this guy if he had the chance.
Yep. Also, big finisher... Bakugo tells Deku, hey, we gotta talk about this quirk shit. They have a little conversation that ends with, now we gotta fight. We gotta settle this.
Yeah.
Not... I don't know if I was expecting it to go this way. I'm sort of disappointed.
I think
that
I'm
in
the same boat as you.
Because
it's one of those things where, like, and I... Again, everyone has been kind of building up this confrontation. And... It's one of those things where I think once the, like, so fight me right here and now or whatever the line was, like, when I saw that, my, like, adult brain of like, story, like, you know, story plot progression and stuff like that was like, well, this seems dumb and silly just to out of nowhere be like, so we're going to fight because that will solve anything.
Yeah.
But then the shonen anime fan in me was like, oh, man, this fight's probably going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Almost every time, not quite every time, but almost every time that I think, well, this is just a dumb, boring show and cliche, this show has managed to put some kind of extra twist on
too.
It. So
they've not failed me horribly yet.
Yeah, I'm not condemning this. I want to see where they're going with it. But if nothing else, they are certainly setting up like, hey, remember when Naruto and Sasuke fought? Remember?
Yeah.
I remember.
I was definitely originally like the... Because I had a feeling that this was brewing and was going to become a thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted, like, the long introspective look at, like, Bakugo for us to get that. And I'm sure we'll get that during this fight.
Yeah.
And that's something I can count on my hero doing properly. But in my mind, it was definitely, like, I was ready for, no, we're going to kind of leave Deku out of this. And it's just going to be, we're going to see everything from Bakugo's perspective for a second was where I thought it was going to go. So I'm real interested to see where this goes and looking forward to to the showdown that this show has been leading to for the last three seasons, basically.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I also absolutely love that Bakugo puts it together all on his own. Like, he's the guy, and I keep telling people this. I keep telling people, don't think Bakugo's stupid. He's not stupid. There was a conversation about the name that he came up with, the Explosion Murder King.
Mm-hmm.
And in the English version, it doesn't translate. It's actually a really clever pun that he strings three words together. If it weren't for the fact that it was really inappropriate, it would have been a fantastic hero name. In the English version, it just sounds like a bunch of nonsense. It seems like he just slapped three words together.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, Bakugo is a guy who is incredibly good at what he does, incredibly smart, but he's a terrible person because
he's just a sociopath.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a sociopath because he was raised to think that he was so good, the best, so awesome. And he tries to be the best and awesome. It's not like he fell back on his laurels because of that, but he also thought, yeah, since I try the hardest, since I'm so cool, I'm better than all of you. And so at this moment we see he's the guy who puts it all together. Out of all of his classmates, you know, he's got the benefit. He's got an extra, like, oh, he knows it's not his power. And if he didn't know that it was a borrowed power, he probably wouldn't have been able to put this together. But he still does it, and I love that. I love the fact that Bakugo isn't a meathead. He's not just the opposite of Midoriya. So
other small details that I noticed here. So here's your shipping note. Oh, did two characters have an interaction? I wonder if that made people ship them. I noticed that Invisible Girl really wanted to see Zappy Boy's breakdown sheet. She was really interested in his shit.
Oh yeah, that's because she's what was it, Invisible Girl one?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Just one of those like, huh, I wonder if there's any significance to these two characters in particular.
We specifically get a shot of her being like, "Oh man, might just be her being bubbly and just wanting to know what's up." Also, Kaminari is typically, I think, kind of like, I think a lot of characters view him as kind of a goof, so seeing that he passed was maybe like, oh, I want to see what you did. What I liked, for a moment, I really liked the comedic duo of Mineta and Ida.
Yeah.
Just Mineta popping up, be like, the hierarchy's falling apart. At last, those of us at the bottom will rise. And just Ida just wordlessly picking him up and just moving him was just great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, Mineta is such a garbage character. But I love him.
I was going to say, he is a garbage person, but I think he's a great character.
Yeah, yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He's not someone to emulate in any way, shape, or form. I do not condone any of his actions, but he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And also, at least in this episode in particular.
And also, he's the worst in a way that it's like, yeah, I went to school with somebody like that.
Yeah. And I feel like I see this posted around on Twitter a lot, and I don't feel like they emphasize it a lot in the anime, and they probably don't a ton in the manga, but he's apparently super smart is, I guess, how he gets through shit. Like,
you have to be.
They have some like ranking thing for him, and he is the only person with a 5 out of 5 intelligence. Like, not even any of the pros or like Midoriya have that ranking on like thoughtfulness, apparently. So I guess that's what he's super good at, is just being able to think on and act on his feet, even though he seems like he freaks out all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the reasons that we don't get to see, you have Midoriya, who is the smart one.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one who comes up with the plans. He's the ingenuitive
the tactician.
One. He's the tactician. When it comes to like book smarts, yeah, that's recordedly, purportedly via the mangaka, the only way he passed the test. The only way he got into the school at all was that while his power isn't that exceptional, his scores were just off the charts.
His written tests are mind-blowing.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that I think that's almost an excuse by the manga guy. I feel like he was just like, how the hell do I get this character into the school? He's really smart. Okay.
He's a great test taker.
Yeah. And then never touch on it again and just use him for the joke that he is.
I mean, like, here's the thing. We like to say, like, how'd this person get in? Like, somebody's got to be the low man on the totem pole, right?
Yeah. Like, in the best class, someone graduates last.
Yeah, so he is the lowest in this group of exceptional people. Yeah. Like, I'm willing to buy that.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
So Bakugo failed. Was it just because of how he was an asshole during the rescuing bit? Like, just his tone? Because I feel like, especially Todoroki and Inasa, Wind Guy.
Yeah.
I will remember his name someday.
I won't.
Like, we have a very clear, like, palpable, like, thing to point at. Here's when and where they failed.
Yeah.
Bakugo, the only thing we see him do during that second test is find the person who he assesses is healthy enough to rescue themselves. So he's like, get moving.
There is a moment in the last episode, and I pointed this out last time, where the guy is actually talking about, like, you have to choose your actions here appropriately. And I think they were implying, like, there is a reason that we had the rescue and the attack happen at the same time. Mm-hmm. Did Todoroki and Wind Guy go to rescue people during that moment, or did they go to fight off the guy who would have otherwise impeded other people's rescue?
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Like, he was hanging back during that fight, and as much as we say, he's the guy who always jumps in, and that's dumb. Like, that's a situation where he is one of their frontline fighters.
So was he penalized for not jumping into that fight?
Well,
he was
penalized because they were talking. He was talking about it during the scene, like, a hero must do what he can in these sorts of situations. In action or taking the wrong action will cost you. And then it shows him literally not helping anybody.
Okay.
Like, if you'll notice, he doesn't help anyone. He keeps telling, like, you are fine. Help yourself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even help those people. Like, it's I think it was Kaminari and Kirishima that ended up going to save those people in that first episode of the rescue stuff. After that, we don't see him rescuing anybody, and I think that's good. Like, if I had to be honest with you, as much as I like the idea of Bakugo being this great hero and an asshole otherwise, much like Endeavor, it is nice to see his own attitude towards things continuously undermine his own ability, because otherwise, you know. It's good to show that flaw where he doesn't actually help the people he's supposed to help. He needs to figure that out. He needs to figure out how to be a human being with other people. And so, yeah, that's why he failed. He just didn't help enough people.
Yeah. It's also good to note at this point that they do make a point that those who didn't pass, they're going to get a 3 months intensive, like, extra coursework, and then they'll have the chance to reapply. Mm-hmm. So this is not a, you're fucked forever.
Yeah.
And they do also tell them, you know, or you could just take the test again in a year when you would have normally anyway, and all of them are like, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that. I think that's appropriate. And I like the good old setup from Deku, like, wait a second. Why didn't they just disqualify them the moment they dropped below 50? That doesn't make sense. And then he goes up there and is like, by the way, the reason we let you go all the way to the end, as we see, is we wanted you guys to get the full experience. We wanted you, by the end of it, to realize any mistakes that you had made. Otherwise, I mean, like, we'd have just stopped you. Any chance for development, we are going to give you. And I thought that was neat.
Yeah. Also, a reason that they didn't vocalize, but I think is valid, is that for those who did pass the test, they passed the test with these unhelpful assholes in their group.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a circumstance that they should probably learn how to deal with.
Yeah. Turns out the people who succeed won't be the only ones around in a crisis situation.
So, I forget, who got the... Yayorozu got
the highest score of 1A anyway.
Good girl, Yayorozu! Yes! But yeah, seeing everybody's test scores, I think, Bakugo's like, let me see your paper. And he's like, I don't think that's how it works, man.
Yeah, I also, this is when they reveal who Melty Girl is, but when Deku goes up to, like, the hairy guy, he's like, what training did you guys do to hide your presence in combat? He's like, what are you talking about? That is not in our course. That other girl? Yeah, she's been weird for the past few days. It's strange. It's like she's been a different person.
Yeah. It was really... Actually, I love the reveal, by the way, I keep forgetting her name. She's got a cool name, too.
Toga,
yeah. I love the Toga reveal. What a cool, like... Yeah. I didn't see that coming either when I was watching it because I had no idea what Toga's power was. I'd actually kind of forgotten about her. So, yeah, at the end, to find out that it's Toga, I'm like, first of all, cool power. Second, oh, shit. So what happened to Kami, though?
Yeah, that girl is probably dead, would be my guess. Then again, I feel like they've backed off killing people in some spots. So maybe not, but
yeah,
very possible.
The show is a little... It's shonen safe.
Yeah.
Like, characters can die, but only in, like, really big events, maybe?
Yeah, usually it is a big thing if somebody is actually dead.
Yeah.
Normally it is. They've been incapacitated or taken away for a while.
I feel like the only reason that pussycat survived that whole scenario was they needed an example of someone who...
They needed to show the power transfer.
Yeah.
The thing I don't get is I'm, like, and this is going way back, I'm still surprised that Ida's brother is alive.
I mean, he's crippled.
Yeah. He is crippled, and he has been damaged and, like, removed from being a hero. But
I think
it still felt like a weird, like, oh, this is, they are lining this up to have a murder revenge quest. And it was like, well, Almost.
To be fair,
they took away his livelihood, which is
still
damning and a huge thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not a quote unquote fate worse than death, but it's a different fate.
Yes.
That's got its own terrible things attached to it. Like, especially since Ingenium was a big hero.
Yeah, no, he was a big deal.
Yeah, it's noted that Ingenium was a really big deal of a hero. So for him to be taken out like that is not only for, you know, his brother, but the public at large. So I'd actually prefer he not be dead.
No, I think it's a cool move. It's just, it's one of those, I wonder if it is the medium and the projected age expectation for them to have gone that direction instead.
Well, I can definitely tell that Horikoshi doesn't want to get too dark with this sort of thing. He wants to tell a comic book hero story. Mm. And you know what? That's cool. Like, if that's the way that he wants to go.
Well, if that's the way that he wanted to go, then he'd be killing everybody.
Yeah, yeah, people would be dying left and right if this was just
and then having those deaths not stick.
Yeah. Although I think he's also latched on to that is something that people hate. So he's like, okay, we're going to avoid doing that at the very least. But yeah. Anything... So.
Something that we haven't talked much about at all is All Might's prison visit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like it was kind of a nothing scene, and I wonder if it's there to... Speaking of characters that could easily have been killed off, but weren't, I wonder if they'll need to be around for future plot developments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that might have been just kind of, hey, remember this guy?
Yeah.
He's not dead.
All for One's still kicking. He's still out there.
Like, I literally know spoilers, but I can only assume that's the reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even saying this is a person who's read ahead. Why else would you show him here? Why would you have him here? Also, I wish they had done something in this. Like, I watched it, and I'm like, okay, this dialogue is, like, spicy. Like, nice, spicy dialogue. Oh, hey, look how evil and calculated this guy is. He's got it down to a T, what's happening on the outside, without having to ask or get any kind of information. But not all that interesting, actually, to be honest.
I feel like the big part of this scene... Like, the points they really want to get across is One for All has more faith in Shigaraki, I think, than All Might does in Deku. Like, he is just immediately, he's like, no, I don't know what my student's doing, because unlike yours, he's graduated. Like, he's doing his own work now. I don't have to keep tabs on him. And then point two was, yeah, I made my pupil your teacher's grandson or whatever to make you hesitate when fighting him. And, like, All Might's like, no, I hate that kid. I'm not going to hesitate. I view him as a villain was like his kind of like big statement before walking out.
Yeah, of course he says that.
Yeah,
He's not the one who's going to be fighting him in any case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... But to All Might's benefit, he doesn't... Deku, Midoriya doesn't know that this is... First of all, the grandson of the previous holder... And secondarily, even if he did, would it matter?
I think it would matter only if All Might were to specifically make it matter.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I need you to bring this guy in alive. I need you to pull your punches. I don't think All Might would do that.
I could see, and I would be disappointed if my hero went this way and kind of stuck with this trope. But I could totally see it being an 11th hour reveal to Deku particularly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden him slowing down and that becoming an issue. Just being like, wait, you're my master's teacher's grandson?
Ah! What does that make us?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and just and that staying his crushing hands for a second, but... That's the only thing I can see them using it as a plot point later.
If I were All Might, I would sit Deku down immediately and go, by the way, so we're clear.
This is going to come up later.
Yeah, if this comes up later, don't hesitate. Knock this guy's lights out. Like, do whatever you have to do to stop him. I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah, but All Might, whatever else he is, he's the guy who kept his condition a secret from everyone.
Yeah.
He's the guy who didn't bother to tell Deku's legal guardian, hey, by the way, we're doing this. He's not a man for sharing information before it becomes necessary.
I was going to say, I feel like two-thirds of fiction is someone not telling someone something and things going awry.
Yeah.
And All Might seems to be the linchpin of, well, no one else needs to know this.
So... Okay, so it was teased, obviously, in the fight with All for One. Mm-hmm. Do you think All Might's going to die before the series is over?
I definitely do. I would be surprised if he doesn't.
Because in here, he tells All for One to his face, "I'm not going to die." And I'm like, that sounds like the words of a man who's going to die.
Yeah. I just bought this boat, and I'm 2 days away from retirement, and we're going to travel around the world. The Live Forever, I named this boat. But by the way, in case this hadn't become just an entirely symbolic exercise, but I am going to hold up this eggplant.
Man, I've still got shit to talk about. But I'm going to hold it.
We can talk about more shit. Keep talking. We'll just get this formality out. Because
I want to talk about something that's really cool. Okay. So remember in the opening, like one of the first shots is all the characters frozen in the air, and then you've got Bakugo and Todoroki down at the bottom standing there.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really confused because I'm watching and I'm like, wait a second, why is everyone frozen in air like that? I don't remember a character that can freeze people like that. If you look at that shot, they're all jumping in celebration.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in celebratory poses. Meanwhile, you have Todoroki and Bakugo standing there solemnly.
Okay.
Yeah. Really good. Like one of the things that I really really like about the My Hero Academia openings is that they are just.
No, they are always tipping off what's going to be happening in the season.
They're chock full of spoilers.
Yeah, and like, I've never like been able to catch it kind of beforehand.
Yeah, and that's...
It's always something I notice on rewatch, and I'm like, oh, wait, this guy's been in this opening the whole time.
Yeah, and that's why I specifically don't watch the openings very closely. I enjoy them for what they are, and I do not engage with them on more than a surface level.
I like to point out, as a guy who read through all of this, I watched through it, and I'm like, okay, this seemed kind of generic. Now, then I watched Mother's Basement's breakdown, and I'm like, oh, yep, here's all the stuff that I
here's why this opening's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I still don't know who the person is that has, like, the kind of, like, ugly-looking teeth and, like, the...
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, they never showed up.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that was, like, a planned character who never made it, or if that's just, like, a really weird interpretation of, like, the wind guy or something, but, like...
I think they might be in the movie, maybe?
Okay.
I have no idea.
Because I remember when that opening first happened and a bunch of people who had read ahead in the manga going, we don't know who this character is. It's probably some filler shit.
I think it's going to be filler the last three episodes.
What? Oh, no. Please, no.
Because can you really imagine anything after what we're about to go through?
No, but I don't want it.
Is there still three episodes left? I thought there were like only one or two.
Let's see. This is episode 60, which is what, the 20? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because there's.
I have to look it up.
Yeah. I feel like I mathed it out and there were two episodes left, but I could be wrong.
Sounds right.
That was my guess based on previous season lengths.
I also don't know if they're counting that filler episode as.
Oh, right?
Yeah. I think they are. It was part of the run.
Yeah, I mean, it had a full episode number. It's not like it came out as episode 19.5.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah. So it's nice. Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. It's nice to see. It's really cool to see two of the best heroes in the class not make it.
And that's a fun twist.
Yeah, because I was sitting back like, all right, how in the world does Todoroki not make it through? And introducing Inasa, was it Inasa?
Inasa.
Introducing him to be a foil was a great idea. I loved how it played out more in the manga than in the anime, but it still did its job. So, yeah, to watch those guys... with such different attitudes and approaches to things still fail because of their own hang-ups and problems was really cool.
Yeah, when Wind Guy apologizes and someone in the class goes, he is very bold, but also very sensitive. Like, it's just, he is the in-your-face guy, but also with all of the emotional baggage that like Deku has, where it's just like, I just want you to succeed, but I also still kind of hate you, so I'm sorry in advance, but I get that I shouldn't. Bye!
Can we talk about that visual, like that joke of him running by, talking, and then running back, and I'm like, that looks so cheap, hilariously cheap, though.
Yeah, it was definitely there for comedic effect, but it's like, we gave this dude two frames of running.
Yeah. But the other thing was about that, like, yeah, Inasa as a character, I think, plays out... I liked Inasa as a concept a little bit better than in practice, because I see what they were going for with him. He's a very passionate person, a very emotional person, which is why he looks at heroes and thinks, yes, you should have passion, you should be out there, you should be, you know, happy and smiling and be the hero. So when he tries to get Endeavor's autograph and he gets smacked down, it's kind of like an insult to his ideology of what a hero should be. And then when he goes up to Todoroki and tries to do it again and basically gets verbally slapped down, but then he's like, no, I'll try it again. So he beats Todoroki and is like, all right, let's see that passion. Nope. No, not only no passion, but he's
this
like...
This wasn't a race. You just got in my way.
Yeah, and I think that's really immature. And I love that. I love the fact that this Inasa is an immature guy who is really powerful, but he kind of sucks at like just letting people be themselves. Well, he's too invested in them, and so he fails.
And I think what was like kind of the good twist with them failing this test is I feel like it kind of shows that like you have the on paper you've got everything we need for a really good hero, but on top of that we also need to make sure that you have awareness and humility to be able to step back when the situation doesn't need you. And that's where all three of these guys are bad, is like Todoroki will like every time he goes, my power is bad in a group, so I'm gonna work by myself, bye. And
yeah,
and never talks to people about it. He is just always like, sorry, it's tough to use my power in a group, see ya. And sometimes your power might be really helpful in a group, even if it's difficult. Sometimes you have to put yourself out of your comfort zone to save lives. Crazy.
Plays well with others is not applicable to Bakugo and or Todoroki.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys seem to get more out of Inasa's character than I did. Mm-hmm. I found him an effective enough plot device for Todoroki's development. I can't say I ever had any attachment to him as his own character.
Yeah.
Which is why I said I think he worked better conceptually.
Yeah.
Actually, in practice, he's kind of annoying and, yeah, a plot device.
Yeah, and just more of an anime character than almost anybody else in this show, mm-hmm. where he shows up, gives his weird philosophy on passion and life and whatever, and then pieces out.
Yeah.
Yeah, although to at least be fair, it's... I, and maybe that's kind of the issue, is that he doesn't have enough time to kind of show it off a little bit more. It's kind of presented in small little tidbits and in flashbacks, which, by the way, a narrative crutch for any medium. And then and over with.
Yeah.
Okay. They slip in. This is kind of jumping off of the Inasa stuff, but... Joke brings up like, hey, you know, we should like do like a team up like training session or something sometime. I have a crazy feeling that that's something that like isn't a major plot point ever and is probably just going to be like a filler episode or something later. Of just like, we got time in the schedule. Let's have an episode where, hey, what? This other class is here. Isn't that neat? Remember Vibration Guy? Wasn't he cool? What if we have to work with him?
Yeah, I mean, if that, honestly, I didn't see anything more in it than, well, these characters have a relationship. Oh, look at that. When they work together as colleagues, they're fine. But when she wants to marry him, it's weird. Okay, that's all the time and energy we're willing to put into this relationship. Bye! Which, if that's all it is, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Unlike Inasa, I enjoyed that interaction while it was there, but I'm also ready for it to come to a close.
I wish we could have watched this dubbed. Amber's joke is
Amber does
so
a really good.
Good
job as joke.
Marry me!
But it could also definitely be the, hey, Class 1A already has like 20 people that we're trying to kind of keep track of. We don't need to keep introducing a bunch of characters for you to understand they still exist in the world.
Yeah.
Even if they're not here every day.
No, object permanence, what's that? People cease to exist once they're outside
exactly.
of my field of vision.
When we bring
let's have a moment of silence for Kieran, Nick, Zito, all dead as far as I know.
Yeah, presently not on camera, so might not exist.
Yep.
Because it's...
Am I a specter?
Yeah. Tyler,
to the audience, I can see you. Yeah. I know you exist. But now I don't. But now I do. You're back!
Thank God he's alive! I blinked and I was worried.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's everything. Really kind of, there's a lot to talk about here because it's kind of a wrap-up of that arc, although we still have the next episode, which, oh my God, I can't believe I have to wait 6 more days for this.
A real quick thing before we bounce, I just want to shout out a very cute short scene of, like, Midoriya looking at his license and crying, and Gravity Girl being like, are you crying? Just like, yeah, well, you know. And then just him immediately turning and taking pictures with his phone. I want to send this to Mom and All Might so fast. Like, just like his, like the actor's the delivery on that was just very good, with just the voice squeaks up really high. I don't understand Japanese, so I don't know exactly what words were emphasized, but just got a very like, and I can't wait to send this to mom.
Yes. I do love the fact that he sends it to mom and his dad. So
yeah.
It is kind of funny. Like people kind of joke about like, oh, mine's his dad, and I'm like, yeah, kind of at this point though, like kind of, yeah.
Yeah. We have heard his dad mentioned. I don't know if we've ever seen him.
I mean, he's either gone. Like, what? I forget what the whole deal with his dad is.
Because his mom is a psychic, and his dad can like breathe fire or something, is what she says in like an interview.
Wait, she's a what?
Yeah, she can like manipulate things with her. Like she can move.
She can
stuff
move
with
small
her,
objects yeah. towards her.
Yeah, oh. she has like slight telekinesis, and she's okay. like. And she's like, and my husband breathes fire, but my son shows none of these in like the first episode.
Huh.
Yeah, I can't say I ever thought too hard about it beyond, it can be hard to write two different characters as parents for a main character, so sometimes yeah. they don't bother and don't really talk about it.
Yeah. They've never specified any sort of, let's say, tragedy or anything with his dad, so I'm going to assume it's not like a traumatic thing for him to not be there all the time.
I knew he was there. I knew what was up with Midoriya's dad a while back. Like, I remember somebody told me, or I read it somewhere, and then I completely forgot because he's a non-character.
He went out for super smokes and never came back.
He was busy being the fourth Hokage.
Yeah.
Third Hokage? Whichever Hokage that was.
A Hokage who died before his prime.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, yep. We will see you next time. Maybe we'll have a new Hokage by next week. We don't know. Stuff can happen in a week. We'll find out. Bye, everybody.
Later.